Okay, to make sure that, you don't get offended tonight. And we're just going to preach what the Word of God says in the Bible study. We're going to look at the Scripture and go through some of these things. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's go to verse 6. It said, "For some have swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." And then he said this, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient." That's why God made the law. It's for the lawless man, it's for the disobedient man, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." And so the Lord gives us quite a list of people the law is for. And I want to say there's not one of us that either today or in time past has not fallen into probably many of these categories, but at minimum, one of these categories. If you've never seen yourself in one of these categories, you're going to die according to the law of God, you're going to die without Christ and go to hell, because the law is for the lawless. It's for those lawbreakers. It's for the unrighteous. If you would, let's go to Romans chapter 2. And look at a passage in Romans chapter 2. I'll start in verse 21. He says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thou not thyself? That thou preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou makest thy boast of the law. Through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." And so again, he talks about the law of God. We're going to make our boast of the law, yet disobey the law of God. And so with the Lord's help, I want to look at the law of God tonight and look at a slightly different angle. Some of you were in Blaine. I touched on this in Blaine in November. And the Lord just gave me some understanding to look further into this matter. But let's go to Exodus chapter 3. And I must tell a story first for the Word of God before we go into the law of God. And this, of course, is the story of the burning bush and Moses in Exodus chapter 3. In verse 7, of course, the bush is burned with fire. Moses turns aside. The Lord tells him to not draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes, from off thy feet. The place where thou standest is holy ground. And in verse 7, the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and it shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." It's important, I believe, to establish that fact tonight, that I am hath sent me. And we'll see I am mentioned many times in the law of God. And as we go through some of this, we'll see that as God spake, he would identify himself as I am. I am the Lord. I am he which brought thee out. And so when we see I am in the Word of God, it ought to make us take up and notice that he is the I am of the Word of God. I am that I am. There is none other God. He is the great God. And so I want to look at I am in the law. And I'm going to start to kind of go backwards a little bit, but I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 first. And we'll look at the I am of the law of God as it was given to Moses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6. Now, it's important, I'll keep reiterating this. This law is not for the righteous man. It's for the lawless. It's for disobedient. It's for truth breakers, adulterers, those who defile themselves with mankind. That's what this law is for. Yet I am has spoke, I am spake, and it's still speaking today. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, either is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Who? I am. I am his said this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me and know this and keep my commandments. Who hates God? Those that are disobedient. Those that disobey God. That's what the context of what he's saying. For those that love me, keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, that thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle. Nor thy strangers within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. The Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So he's going back to Exodus 20, telling us the law of God. We call it simply the Ten Commandments of God. And God has given us very clear instruction. I am spake that we might hear. And he gave us those commandments. But it's not just in those Ten Commandments that he spake. He spake many times. I want to just hit this while we're here, and we'll go back to Deuteronomy 29. And we'll go back, Lord willing, here to the book of Leviticus. Deuteronomy 29. Verse 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said to them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs of those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. And notice this. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. 40 years with no leaven. 40 years God provided the manna from heaven with no leaven. No wine or strong drink. Why? That they might know the miracle that God did for them. It's good. In sustaining them in the wilderness by the law of God. God took care of their every need. They don't have strong drink. They don't have wine. Why? They might know that he's the Lord thy God. You let them have pleasant bread. Why? They might know that he's the Lord thy God. Yet their clothes didn't wear, their shoes didn't wear. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Yet God led them in every turn, in every step. God guided them. God provided for them. Leviticus chapter 11. The I am of the law of God. Now I want to be clear about this. This is for the lawless, the disobedient. There's no way to sugarcoat this. If you're thin skin, it's going to hurt. If you're thick skin, it's still not going to hurt. It's just the reality of the Word of God. There's not a time that I don't read. And part of the problem is if you have a schedule, well, for it, I'm not being negative about Brother John. If you follow his schedule, it's easy to gloss through Leviticus because you read a lot. Leviticus. Nine chapters is a lot of reading. And sometimes you gloss over things. There's times the Lord will. Now, I do. Maybe you don't. I do. Forgive me for that. There's times I'll dig in. The Lord will just stop me in my tracks. And make me look at that passage of Scripture. That's what the Lord wants to do tonight. The Lord wants to stop in our tracks and read what I am has said from the Word of God. The Lord spake unto Moses, Leviticus 11. And to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, let's stop. So God has spake unto Moses and to Aaron. When he spake unto them, he said, I'm going to tell you what you are going to say to the children of Israel. God, holy men of God, spake. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word of God is given to us. It's for our admonition. It's for our profit. Why is that? Look at verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. Again, for I am. Who said it? I am. Who's preaching? I am. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. In verse 45, I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. I am, it's told his children, ye shall. It's an absolute. It's not a choice, it's not your will. It doesn't say you will be holy, it says you shall be holy. Your will is taken out of that. That's God's will imposed upon you. You're his child, you shall be holy. God has a way of making us holy. Amen. I don't want to tell stories because it would just reduce me to rubble tonight. But God has a way of making his children holy. Leviticus 18, the law is for the lawless, disobedient. Leviticus 18, verse 2. Starting verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. I want you to notice this. This is why God has given us the Word of God in the law of God for the lawless and the disobedient. This is why God gave us the law. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt. Somebody with English, help me. What tense are we looking at with wherein ye dwelt? Past tense. You were in Egypt land. This is what he said, shall ye not do. You're not going to do the doings of the land of Egypt. You're not going to be like the Egyptians. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, future tense, ye shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. What is that? That's of course according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power. Yeah. It's also according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're not going to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air. We're not going to walk after the rudiments of this world, children of God. The lawless will, disobedient will. The unrighteous will. The righteous will not walk after the laws of this world, the ordinances of this world. And so, there's ordinances that are imposed upon people by the world. People say, you're not religion up there, you're in bondage. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in bondage. Oh, boy. I'm going, no sins, what have you.
That's right. Yeah.
I couldn't get out of the city. Yeah, I couldn't stop sinning. Exactly. I couldn't get out of the business of sin. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ made me free. Exactly. Amen. Well, that. Listen, you helped us. You helped all of us. You never set us free.
That's right.
That's
good stuff right there.
God made us free.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm free to live how I please. Mm. This is how I please to live.
Good.
That's right, brother.
I'm free to live how I want to live. This is the life I want to live. Yeah. Sure. You say, is it a postcard? Sometimes. Irish postcard, maybe, but still, it's a postcard. No, it's not perfect, but it's the life that God has given us in Christ by his word. He said, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances. That's what we look at, is God's ordinances. To walk therein, I am the Lord your God. You're going to do what I say, not what they say. You're going to do what I want you to do, not what the world wants you to do. You're going to do what I want to do. Listen, I looked at this earlier, and you know, Egypt, we know, is in the type, is a type of the old life, the type of the sinful life. And I was looking at those Canaanites. And I was like, they're going into the land of Canaan. God told them to throw the Canaanites out of the land, destroy the land utterly. Yet they made peace with the Jebusites. They made peace with others. And they did not utterly destroy them from out of the land. Yet God, in his mercy, reached down, and God salvaged some of those Canaanites in the land, that they might live, what, soberly, righteously, and godly, wet in this present world.
Amen.
God's going to put them in a land that they know not, amongst a people they know not, and they're still going to follow the ordinances of God in a strange and a peculiar land.
That's good, brother.
And by the way, that hasn't changed.
Sure hasn't.
The saints of God are still a peculiar people,
yes, okay.
Zealous of all good works. In verse 5, he said, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, if we stop there, people would say, oh, Brother McVeigh, that was so helpful. Oh, Brother McVeigh, that was so good. Oh, Brother McVeigh, that was so edifying. Well, we can't stop there because there's about 30 more where the Lord said, I am.
Good.
And we'll start in verse 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, because men have trouble understanding plain speech, any is pretty plain.
Yeah.
But I am, he says, the nakedness of thy father, verse 7, or the nakedness of thy mother. Shalt thou not uncover. What does that mean? The child should never.
That's right.
Should never.
Exactly right, brother.
See their parents naked.
Ever. Exactly.
That includes you daddies when you're mowing the lawn.
Sure thing.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 So got a motorcycle one day. I was a young convert. I felt bad going down to the beach. Going, I love to go swimming. And I was down at Virginia Beach, and a hurricane or a tropical storm had just come through. And so there was just some ripping waves. I went and bought a boogie board. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll just wear a tank top. That won't be too bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm out there feeling kind of guilty, just telling myself, on myself now, feeling kind of guilty, but not terrible guilty. And the next day, I see a guy riding a Harley Davidson with his shirt on. Got an American flag tattooed across his shirt. And his flaps, his fat's just flapping in the wind. The faster he goes, the more his back's jiggling. And the Lord said, you look worse than that. It was sealed.
Done, brother. Exactly right.
It was sealed. You know what the Lord said? You're not going to reveal that.
Right.
To any that's near kin.
Right.
That's for the lawless. That's for the disobedient. That's for the adulterer. I am said that. Nakedness of thy father, nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. Why did God say that? Because God knew the perversion of men.
Sure.
Right. This is the dealings of the children of Canaan. This is their history. This is their manner of life. This is Egypt's manner of life.
Right, brother.
This is how they live.
Right.
There's nothing off limits to them. I'm going to say something here. I won't go into the details. My wife and I had an incident a little while ago. Not long ago. And I walk up to the door, big plate glass window in the front of this house, and I see someone in the living room dancing. Thankfully, they had their back to me, but that was sick enough. not a stitch of clothes on. And Nathaniel in the stroller, me and him went flying off the porch, almost tipped him over. My wife said, what's the matter? I said, you really don't want to know. You know why? Because that's just people today. They learned that in Egypt land. They learned that on television. Right. They learned that watching movies. They learned that. They didn't learn that in church. A lot of people learned it from their parents. A lot of people learned it from their family. I had a stewardess on an airplane one day. And she rubbed me the wrong way, but I was kind to her. I wasn't mean to her at all. And she just rubbed me the wrong way, the statement she made. I was sitting in the front bulkhead seat where I used to always sit because of my legs being so long. And I'm talking to her, the plane's flying around. And she said, well, when you grow up in, you know, Florida, she goes, I mean, there you just get used to taking your clothes off. And I said, well, God still hates that. And she goes, if God was in Florida, he'd understand. And I said, well, Jesus was in Israel. Kind of turned sheepish, and immediately her religion fled, and you know, and changed the subject real quick, you know. But she said it, she did in Florida. We just, you learn, young age, you learn, you just take your clothes off. And I thought, yeah, that's about not just Florida, that's Pennsylvania too. That's only in New York. That's Buffalo, New York.
Sir,
hey, it's 40 degrees, the sun's out, let's get our clothes off. God hates it. Mm-hmm. God despises it.
Yep.
But yet, there's so many today, lawless. Without Christ, it's nothing to them to reveal their body to people they don't even know, but also in front of their kid. Mm. I am, so thou shalt not.
That's right.
It makes thy son's daughter, thy daughter's daughter. Give their nakedness, shalt thou not uncover. There's thine own nakedness. It makes thy father's wife's daughter. Of your stepsister. Begotten of thy father, that's what we would say today. She is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Now people go, you should talk about those things in church. No, take it up with God.
That's right. Right.
The Bible, buddy. Yeah, take it up with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I have a man I love dearly. He's a holy man. I wouldn't contest with him over this. For a million years. I'll disagree with him on it. He just said there's things in the Bible that ought not be said in church.
I went, oh. Mm-hmm.
You see, old Noah Webster had that idea back in 1826, 1825. He produced the Noah Webster Bible. You know what it was? It's a puritanical Bible. He took things out that he considered to be vulgar. Changed about 20-some words. Minor changes compared to today. But he changed 20-some words. He said, it's just too vulgar. We need to tone these things down. Well, I've been confronted in church about this. These things are, you know, to the pure. What's pure to the pure?
All things.
All things. You got a problem with it?
That's right.
I was at the Union Rescue Mission in Hagerstown in December preaching with Phil Brother Wagner at the Rescue Mission. And I saw that woman with the issue of blood. And I said, I just made a statement. I said, now, come on. I said, some of us are smarter. We know what that issue of blood is, right, ladies? And I mean, those ladies are just dying laughing. I mean, just obnoxiously up there rolling laugh. Lady goes, I've never heard a preacher talk about that. And I wasn't going to be cocky. I said, we probably haven't really heard a preacher then. It's what the Word of God says.
Yeah, it says, brother.
That's what I cover the nakedness of thy father's brother. 14. That's what I cover his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. By the way, well, I've seen people over the years. Listen, every one of these laws in my life, I've seen people violate. Every one of these laws. This pornography has taken the boundaries of strength.
Oh, hasn't it?
There's no boundaries. I've watched sister-in-law just flawed. Some relate to some of you. Just flawed. It's wicked. So they come to the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. It's so perverse. So they take her son's daughter, daughter's daughter, and cover her nakedness of their near kinsman. It's wickedness. They said take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also, that's an approach to a woman to uncover her nakedness. As long as she's put apart from her uncleanness. Moreover, oh, This, boy, this is really, this is legalistic. Thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of bullet. Ye shall not profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord.
Brother McVeigh.
Yes, sir.
What do you think they do with those aborted fetuses? Put them through the fire. Mm.
That's
what's
right.
Sure, great.
Goes to that disposal.
That's right.
Yeah. Those you didn't hear Brother John, he said, what do you think they do with aborted fetuses? So they put them through the fire. They incinerate, burn them, do a massage. Yes, sir. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's abomination. He said, the lie with any beast, to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down to. It is confusion. Why did God say that? Because men are wicked. Their hearts are wicked. Confusion abounds. Pornography has destroyed a conscience of this nation. You think about this. You go to the grocery store, you stand there next to a woman, not even a man, a woman. What are the odds that she looks at pornography and they're great? That's an unclean person. Unclean spirits, vile affections, filthy conscience. Capable, men, listen to me, capable of anything.
That's right. Sure.
You let your guard down for a minute. You'll find yourself alone. You'll never let your guard down. He says, you walk circumspectly, as wise, not as a fool. The word circumspect's one time in that King James Bible. There's no cross-reference. But you know what he tells you? You walk circumspectly. Let's just take a little, let's just do a little word examination. What is circa? That's round. What is spec? It's always the vision of the scene. Spectacles, respect, aspect. See that you look around. Walking circumspect is wise, not as foolish. We're in America. It's a filthy nation. It's an unclean nation. I don't want to tell the story, but I may need to. Some of you like it, some of you won't. I was on Air Asia flight out of Bangkok, flying to Cambodia. Big fat American. No offense to big fat Americans. About my size. He's a little heavier than me even back in those days. I was 320 pounds. He's probably 350. Has little short shorts. He's about 65 years old. Long ponytail. Got this little Cambodian or Thai girl with him. Looked almost prepubescent. And I, forgive me, he came up to me and said, I need to sit here in this rug. I said, oh, my dead body. He got a little belligerent. He said, I need to sit down in this row. I got belligerent back. I just got up out of my seat. I said, why don't you go to the back of the plane and keep something away from me? He got hot. The man I was with, preacher, saw his eyes about this big. Later on, his dad said, you think you handled that the best way? I said, no, absolutely, I did not. But I'm very pleased with how I handled it. He said, it's a real life people live.
Yep.
It's a real life people are snared in. Perversion abounds, especially those Far East countries. Listen, all the rules are off. All the rules are off. I've been over in the Middle East, been in those hotels in the Middle East. The waitress comes up. Listen, she's going to serve you food. I'm just telling you right now, she's there for the purpose. It's not just to serve you food, she wants to serve you to make money.
Right.
And they close their eyes. I go to the Marriott Hotel, JW Marriott. I'm talking about all the big hotels. They wink at it. They close their eyes. Why? Because it brings money and business into those countries. America is no better off than what they are.
Right.
Generations. Right. Perverseness. Godlessness. Abomination. Verse 24 says, defile not to yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now, I'll go on down just a little bit. Look at verse 29. Speaking of the children of Israel. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you. You saw them. You watched them. You've seen it. Hey, let's just be honest in here. A lot of us grew up with it. You don't have to do it.
That's right.
You don't have to commit.
That's right.
We read this first tough story. That you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. In the hospital, I'll just call him Brother H. I don't want anybody to know who he is. He's my former pastor. Let's call him Brother H. Rhymes with Sherman. Okay. I'm in the hospital with her. And we're visiting a man who's had a massive heart attack. He's wired up, he's blue, gasping for air. The heart comes and says, just want to pray with you. The guy said, well, who are you? He said, I'm your granddaughter's names are I'm a pastor. His name's just Tim McVeigh. He's out of our church. And he says, I got a bone to pick with you. Herbert says, okay. It's kind of common for preachers. He said, you the one that tells my granddaughter her little boys can't take their shirts off in the pool? Herbert said, I never told her to tell her boys that. But she said, you said her boys can't take their shirts off in the pool. And he said, I never told her to say that. And he said, I preach against you. And he said, because God's against you. And he said, well, I think that's ridiculous. And Herbert said, I ask you a question. It's a true story. He said, why do you want to see those little boys in the pool with their shirts off?
How about that, huh?
If I'm lying, I hope lightning strikes Randy right there. The alarm started going off. His heart rate went to 150. Nurses literally came in and escorted us out of the hospital. They kicked us out of the hospital, escorted us out. His I believe it was one of his daughters that was screaming at us, what are you trying to do? Kill him! What are you trying to do? Kill him! I thought it was a fair question.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was a real fair question.
Yeah.
These men with their daughters in these little swimsuits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moms with their daughters in little swimsuits, put them out there on display. Didn't mean to get into all that, but you know what I am? Said, I am the Lord. Right. You'll not commit any of these customs.
Right, come on.
That's right,
brother. I remember being a 12-year-old boy being forced to go to the YMCA for swimming lessons. Listen, I hadn't seen the sun ever in the light of day. I was so white, I jumped in the pool and it had a white bottom, they couldn't find me. I just blended right in like a chameleon. All you can see is these bright red swim trunks moving around the water. It's humiliating. Mm-hmm. When you listen, I was humiliated. I was ashamed. I mean, absolutely embarrassed to the nth degree. I asked my mom to wear a shirt. She asked and instructed, no, you can't wear shirts in the pool. You know, the threads get clogged up, you know, whatever the thing is, and, you know, then the old ladies had swimming lessons while we had swimming lessons. You had to endure that horror, senior citizen swimming lesson day. Just being honest about it. It's culture. Is that not the land we live in? Who taught that to people? Society? Family? Television, movies, lust, covetous. You see those pictures, people laugh today. You see those pictures from Coney Island, a heat wave, Brooklyn. Coney Island, 120,000 people trying to get in the water, and women down there in their Victorian outfits with their skirts, not even pulling them above the knee lest they bear the shame of that. People laugh and mock and scoff at that debate. There was a time in America you didn't reveal that kind of thing. But it's common, but you know why? Because we've been told it's okay.
That's right, brother. That's right.
And it's not okay.
It's not okay.
I am. He said, because there's so many lawless people, I'm going to say this. because you're my people and you'll be holy. I'm going to tell you this. Because there's so many people out there living in sin that think they're okay with God. I'm going to give this law, and they're going to hate it, and they're going to despise it. And it might cut them like a dagger in the heart. But I am spake. And I am has never changed.
That's right.
I am the Lord. I change not.
Yes.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I am Alpha and Omega. He said, I am the beginning and the end. He is.
Help us, Lord.
And he gave us a law. And I want you to take notice. Every time you read your Bible, I want you to take note. When he says a law and says, I am, you better sit up and take notice.
That's
you know what he just did? He gave us an entire chapter and then said, I am the Lord. You're not going to go do what you did in Egypt land. You're not going to go to the places you went in Egypt land. You're not going to live the life you lived in Egypt land. And I'm going to bring you into a new land. I'm going to bring you into a good land. Listen, church, picture typology. Okay, there's still Canaanites in the land.
Sure.
And there's Canaanites that will defile your family in this good land.
Sure.
If they can get away with it.
Yes, sir.
But somebody needs to separate themselves. Somebody needs to stand.
Yes.
Somebody needs to live for God. I remember when I first got saved, I went to the Baptist church. And I just assumed I was the vilest of the vile there. I assumed I was the worst of the worst. And I found out after a couple of years going to the church that, listen, I was only mildly wicked compared to some of these people. And after being about 6-7 years, I realized I was actually saved and probably most of them weren't saved. You know why? Because of the chapter I'm reading to you.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
The things you see, the things you hear.
Right.
Youth events canceled because young people just ungodly in their acts and their filth. Pool party. I had a man knock on my door a couple years ago. No clue who he was. He said, so-and-so is my neighbor, and their neighbors to this guy and this guy. And they said, we heard that you were, you know, an evangelist maybe looking to take a church. I said, well, okay. I don't know you, but he told me the church, and you know, he said, now one of the big events we do every year is, you know, my wife and I have a pontoon boat, and there's another family church, they have a pontoon boat. We take everybody to church up to Racetown Lake on the pontoon boats. And I'm thinking, I'd rather eat hot charcoal than go on a pontoon boat with people I go to church with. Mm. You say, well, that's kind of crass, isn't it? Well, you know what they're wearing.
Yeah.
This isn't a holy thing. You invite me to go fishing, I'll be glad to go fishing. You men invite me to go swimming, I'll be glad to go swim. But listen, I got my swim trunks up there at the house right now. I know it's too cold out, but I got them ready just in case. You said, what size swim trunks do you wear? 34 length, 40 waist.
Right, brother.
Amen. You say, what kind of shirt do you wear? A big one. Amen. Well, I'm glad we got through that okay. Leviticus, chapter 19. The Lord spake unto Moses. Listen, this is for the lawless. This is for the unholy. This is for the unrighteous. God's speaking to us through the law of God. Let me tell you this, before I ever even opened this text to speak to anybody about this, you better rest assured I went through the ringer on it. Okay? Just want to cover that real quick.
Amen.
I went through the ringer on this text. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. We covered that in Deuteronomy. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. It almost seems silly today, but you'd be amazed how quickly people can turn to other gods. Pastor Black, Sunday morning, preached on, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he preached on the gods of this world. I remember that fellow brother Tony down there in Tennessee. He was at Faith Baptist Camp one time. And he talked about and he said, whatever you're thinking about while I'm preaching, he said, might be a god in your life.
Uh-oh.
Brother Tony said, I went home and sold my coon dogs. True story, that's what he said. He said, during the church service, think about coon hunting. I remember being out in the middle of the creek, And listen, I love fishing. I was a fishing machine. 3-4 nights, I wasn't married, 3-4 nights a week. And I was on Tuesday evening, I was out in the middle of Cottonwood Creek hunting smallmouth in the summer. And I'm talking about some real smallmouth. I'm talking about 24 to 26 inch bass occasionally. Fight you up and down that creek. And I'm in the middle of Cottonwood Creek. I hear a horn blaring up on the creek. Two guys up there screaming and hollering and making a fuss. They were on visitation with the church. And where was I? I was down the creek. Never went fishing on Tuesday again. Never went one more time. What the Lord did for me. Does anybody else want to yell thunder snow? Oh, anyway.
Hey, you already called lightning strike on me. I don't need another.
Okay, all right. Be careful. I wasn't lying. We turned so quickly to other gods. Besides the true and living God. The biggest God of all. The love of money. The root of all evil. You know, money will bail me out. Money will salve me. By the way, Psalm 73 covers that very well. Get our eyes off of Christ. Get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. And we start looking for money to save us. And we don't suffer like that. And by the way, when you're poor, you don't suffer like rich people suffer. They suffer differently. Why? They have the money to be at ease. They have the money for everything they can for comfort and security and for protection. They have everything, but yet without God. Those little gods that pop up, those little idols that pop up in our life. He said, no, you're not going to do that. Verse 10. As he started verse 9. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. What did Jesus say about that? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. What did he say? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the law he's speaking. He's telling Israel, listen, this is a day when your vineyard was everything. Your livelihood was in your vineyard. Your livelihood was in your fields. And you go out to glean and to harvest. And you wouldn't cut those corners. Or you wouldn't harvest those corners. You'd turn those corners and you'd leave. What? For the poor. They come gather. You'd orchard. You'd pick all your apples and you'd leave trees in the orchard. And you'd leave it for the poor. Why? Because you love your neighbor as yourself. I remember a day in the house of God. I remember the old timers coming in the summer. And we as children loved. They came in with baskets of vegetables in the house of God. And I remember there was an old fellow in the church. And he said, this is my tithe off my garden. And he was quite the gardener. And everybody gleaned from this man's top. You said, that's just crazy right there. He felt that God showed him he's going to tithe off of his garden. And he would bring it in for the poor and for the destitute. Bring it in for those that maybe didn't have. He'd share it with God's people. Why? You love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not for us. We don't work for us. You know why we labor with our hands? Those of you that labor with your hands, you know why you labor with your hands? To please Him. Beat stealing.
Yeah.
That's the precept.
Yes, sir.
It's better than going out stealing. So what? You labor with your hands. And then when you receive, you give to those that don't have. He said, do you give everything away? No, I don't give everything away. We'd live in a dumpster if I did. We do try to give the excess. Sometimes we give above and beyond the excess. Your pastor says, look, let's give it till it hurts. There's people I've never met in my life. There's people I do not know to this day. But God's laid heavy upon us to be a help to them and a blessing. Because we love people above ourselves. I have a neighbor. Brother Dale's met him. I'm not sure if you've met him or not. And I joke about it with him. He and I are polar opposites. I mean, we couldn't be more opposite. I'm tall, white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Midwesterner. He's short, black, dreadlocks, tattooed head to toe. He's from the Bronx, New York. And the only same thing we have in common, we're both married to white women. I love that man. And I said, my wife said, that's without hyperbole. I love that man. Care about his soul. Try to be a blessing. Try to be a help to him. If I get a keto ice cream bar in the summer, I take him a keto ice cream bar. They're valuable to me. I can't find them. I mean, that's nothing. That's a precious commodity. You can't find a keto ice cream bar in the summer. You said you toot your own horn, or just a little bit. It's a pretty minor thing. And somebody just need to get a hold of that. Somebody just need to get a hold of this. It's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You glean your vineyard. Why don't you leave something to somebody else? You got your field. You harvest that field. Why don't you leave something to somebody else? Somebody less off than you. I'm assuming, with a few exceptions, most of us in this room grew up poor. The reason I know that is because it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. You don't get rich people to come to church. I'm just saying a fact. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be callous. Most of us here grew up poor. We can all tell our stories about growing up. Most of us can probably tell a story about lost people that showed us charity.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Lost people. I can tell stories about religious lost people that showed us kindness when I was a boy.
Yep.
I can tell stories about listen, I'll throw money in the kettle for the ding-dong people at Christmas time. You know why? Because when I was a little boy, if we didn't have anything, the ding-dong people bought us Christmas gifts.
Yep.
I had the finest erector set in the county because the ding-dong people raised enough money to give me the erector set. I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
I'll throw some money in them. You know why? But you know what the Lord showed me through that? Lost people.
That's right.
Were a help to the McVay family. How much greater would it be if people have showed us kindness and have a testimony of Jesus Christ? What an influence it would be if the people that showed us charity came to our house and had a testimony of knowing Jesus Christ and showed us an absolute and pure charity. To a lady one time, with knowledge, not simple, not foolish, okay? And she's down the streets begging. I said, do you need something to eat? And, you know, and she's like, yeah, I need some money. You know, I said, no, do you need food? Hesitantly, she's like, yeah. I said, okay. No, go over there in Dairy Queen. I'll meet you in there. So she walks in Dairy Queen, goes in there. She orders a hot food sundae, I think two corn dogs, five-piece chicken tender. And I said, ma'am, you know that food's going to kill you. She goes, I know, but it's really good. I said, okay, that's fine. You know, I was kind of just joking and trying to be funny. She never thanked me, never was grateful, never was kind, but my conscience was at ease. Put a Bible tract in her hand and told her that the Lord had spoke to me and provided her a meal. Left, they'd never see her again. You know, it's one of those lessons in life that I took with me because I realized that a lot of times I would give because people were thankful, grateful. They appreciated it. Sometimes I'd return the favor. I had to learn how to give without that. I had to learn how to give unconditionally. Jesus Christ gave unconditionally. Jesus Christ gave without strings attached. And some of you just need to learn how to give. To love people unconditionally. You know what? You love your enemies. Do good to them that what? Despitefully use you. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy. But it's God's way. Let's move on. I believe there's also something to say about that verse. In verse 12, you shall not swear by my name falsely. And that's just as plain can be. How many people, I swear to, you know, and they're lying through their teeth. They stand in the court of law through their hand of the Bible and lie. Yeah. They go to the marriage altar, take vows before God and lie. As for the lawless, you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people.
Uh-oh.
What does that mean? Just because you know it doesn't mean you got to tell it. That's what a talebearer is. Whether true or false. You know, what was the old adage? Brother Travis used to say, Brother Travis Clayton used to say, he'd say, as long as it's truth in church, it ain't gossiping. And he's being sarcastic about that. Now, this is the truth. Amen. He said, go up and down as a talebearer. Why? neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. There's a lot of people. They'll lie, they'll swear to it. Can I say this? You love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, when you can do that, you've probably got pretty far up the spiritual ladder compared to most people. You see, that charity hides a multitude of sins. When you can show that charity to people that you don't even like, and I'm not talking about for favor with God or for any reward, but just because it's the right thing to do. Bob Jones Sr. always said that thing. Whenever it affords the opportunity, just do right. Always do right. If we can get to the place that we can esteem others higher than ourselves, and esteem others more deserving of us, we might get to the place we could talk about people. We're tailbearing. We might get to that place. You don't have to tell everything you know. There's some things we're not to speak of. There's things we're not to ever mention. There's things that if people have come to me in confidence, they say, you know, Brother Pervea, I need you to not tell anybody. And there's times I've let it slip to somebody. The Lord's taken me to the woodshed over that. The Lord has taken me to the woodshed and dealt severely with me over that vow I made. I had to go to somebody a couple years ago and go and say, listen, I said, I let something slip. And I promised you I wouldn't. I had to go back and apologize to them. To them, it wasn't a big deal. It was a huge deal. I learned how to keep my mouth shut.
That's right. It's good, brother.
Verse 18, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Here it is, summarized, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. But you don't know what they did to me. I am the Lord. In light of the scripture, let's just say, in light of the scripture, what they did to Jesus Christ, how can we hold a grudge? How can I say, well, look what they did. Look what they said about me. I mean, they don't even like me. Welcome to the real world. When you start holding a grudge amongst your people, that bitterness creeps in. That bitterness comes and strangles you, begins to defile you, defile those around you. I preached on bitterness this past August after family camp. Been a long week at camp. Brother Rose and I both preaching each day. Hot, sweaty. I mean, I'm just exhausted. I know you all can believe this. I think I preached 30 minutes. That's a true story. I know you all don't believe that, but it's a true story. And I just preached on that root of bitterness. And I said, I'm done. Let's pray. Two ladies, one here, one there, like bullets to the altar. I mean, they shot to the altar.
Amen.
One lady couldn't even speak. She gets up just sobbing. And so she said, I've been holding a grudge against my husband.
Mom.
Tears running down her face. I mean, just sobbing. This is the story she told me. She said, he took me in when nobody wanted me. I said, well, that sounds familiar. Hallelujah. Yeah. She lost her virginity at a party. She said she was saved. Went to a party with some friends, drank alcohol, lost her virginity. Got with child. The first time she ever fornicated. She had a little half-breed baby. I don't say it'd be offensive. That's just how I talk. I don't know the other word. Mixed race, but maybe you will call it. She bore a little mixed race baby. Father out of the picture. It's one time standing at a party. First time she ever fornicated. She bore the fruit of that relationship. Little mixed race girl. Dark skin, curly hair. She met Matt. Matt's rough, come out of the world, said he got saved. Loved her, took her in. Single mom, overweight, little mixed race baby in the hills of Pennsylvania. Not a good combination. This is the testimony she gave. not in that depth. I'll give you some background. I know. And she just said, and he took me in when nobody else wanted me. She said, here I am holding a grudge against him. Been bitter with him. And just tears. He saw it. She saw it. People in the church are crying. And the other lady gave some pile of garbage testimony that was about worthless. But, you know, her testimony was very touching, very stirring. I saw him back in meeting back there at the New Year's, over New Year's time. So I'm sitting there holding hands, both of them smiling.
Oh, I like it. Yeah,
breathing, comforting. How can you hold a grudge? Husbands, how can you hold a grudge?
Come on.
Love your wife and be not what? Bitter against her.
Okay. Stinking idiot.
Let's hit the wives too, Brother John. Where's your wife? Ladies, how can you hold a grudge against that man? Took you in, put his robe over you, fed you, clothed you. Sister Rebecca.
You want a list?
How can you hold a grudge against God's people? Be bitter against them. I'll go a step further. How can you hold a grudge against the man of God? Mm. He moved his family to the little town of Black Creek, New York.
That's right.
He's labored over the word of God to feed you spiritually.
Right. Yeah.
The sacrifice for you. How can you let somebody talk bad about it?
That's right.
A preacher years ago told the story. He's a young convert off the streets of Cleveland, Ohio. Heard it tell his own ears. He said he didn't know any better. There's a man outside the church running his mouth about the preacher. And he says, so I just did what I do. I hit him in the jaw and knocked him down. I said, did you ever talk bad about my preacher? He said, preacher called me in, chewed me out, sat me down. And then he said, then when I went in the ministry, I remember many times when I got done preaching, thinking, where's that young man at that would do that for me? Amen.
Yeah.
I thought that preacher sometimes. Amen. Somebody go knock this person out for me. Help me out a little bit. Amen. Amen. Yeah. A bunch of wimpy boys. Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Could knock a fly out if you tried. Hit like a girl. That's what I was told. Amen. That's an inside joke. Nobody laugh, please. I don't want to embarrass Peter. Let me go to another verse here, this same chapter, verse 25, this chapter. I'm almost reading the Bible. In the fifth year, shall you eat of the fruit thereof. What is that? The fruit of this field. This is the commandment the Lord has given them concerning coming into a new land. God has instructed them about planting, and it may yield the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. You realize when he gave the law to Israel, he told them how to plant their crops, how to glean their crops. You know why? Because God was interested in them. God was interested in obedience. They had to rest. They had to give that land. They let it set. They let it rest. I remember I worked for a produce farmer back when I was a teenager. And I learned at 15 years old I was never going to be a produce farmer. And last year was confirmed when I had a beautiful crop of garlic. I mean, 2 foot tall. Entire row of garlic Lily and I had planted. And we not plant that. I went to harvest it when the stalks fell over. Didn't find one piece of garlic in the ground. It's all stock. And I thought, you know, when I was 15, I started learning my lesson about this. I worked for a produce farmer. We plant buckwheat 3 years later. He'd say, 3 years, we'll harvest this buckwheat. We plant asparagus. We put those corms in the ground, asparagus. We plant, massive fields rows of asparagus. And he'd say, now we'll have to sit on this for 3 years. It won't be good for 3 years. And he'd plant that. That's what the instruction God gave Israel. He did that to see if they'd be obedient. But he had a purpose. I don't know what the purpose was. But God had a purpose. They would rest the land. God told them to rest the land, the earth at ease. God would give them instructions concerning why? Because I am the Lord your God. Verse 28. It says, verse 26, it'll be right there. You shall not eat anything with the blood. You shall use enchantment or observe tithes. You shall not round the corners of your heads. Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Why? I am the Lord. People always say, well, it's too late for me, brother. Right? Like, well, you don't have to keep doing it.
That's right.
You don't have to keep doing it. Man, not too far from here, several years ago, kind of cast this in my teeth. And I said, I got a man in my church who just keeps doing this over and over and over again. Because there's no law against it.
No.
I said, but there is. Well, that's the Old Testament. And I learned. I said, well, read the next verse. Now prostitute thy daughter, cause her to be a whore. That's Old Testament too.
That's good though.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
100%. I am celibate. I'm not afraid of preaching. I know it offends people, it bothers people. At least you're not going to put those cuttings in your flesh for the dead and print any marks upon you. Why? I am the Lord. When I was a little boy, we weren't allowed to use Cracker Jack tattoos. I got my butt booked for putting Cracker Jack tattoos on. That's a true story. We weren't even allowed to use Cracker Jack tattoos. I am the Lord. He spoke. He's never changed. He's never going to change. So let's just do this. Let's just acknowledge that He's right. He's holy. He's just. We're not. I am. Verse 30. Should keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now that's a little bit sticky for some people. You understand? God explicitly showed us in the New Testament. The church assembles on that first day of the week. It is the Lord's day. God clearly show us that we assemble on Sunday. That's the first day of the week. They assemble on the first day of the week. God called that assembly together. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The Lord showed us that according to the word of God. He still told the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Now, I'm going to get back to high school on this one. Regard not them to have familiar spirits and to seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord, your God. It always sounds silly. Do you realize I was at Walmart the other day? They still sell Ouija boards. They still sell all the things involved with witchcraft and the witchcraft games and the witchcraft card games, and they still trying to hook young people into it. I've met young teenagers on the streets wearing Wicca material, Wicca t-shirts, pentagram earrings, pentagram necklaces. And you ask them about it. I've had them 12, 13 years old. I'm a witch. I'm a warlock. And they're as serious as they can be. When I was a young convert, I used to make fun of them to their face. And I said, well, you know, well, you're no witch. I've had them cast spells on me. I've visited people in their home. I had a woman on the porch one day literally abracadabra me, cast, and she's like, I'm a witch. Even she's casting a spell on me off her porch. I had a man with pentagram earrings, pentagram necklace one day. He goes, I'm a believer just like you. I said, no, you ain't just like me. And by the way, I do talk to people like that. I don't just make up stories. You know, I talk, not trying to be tough, but I just talk back to people that need to be spoken to. I said, no, you don't believe like I believe. He goes, I serve the Lord. I said, which Lord? And he started getting agitated. You know, he's got his pentagram earrings, pentagram. He is announcing to the world, I worship Satan. I'm a devil worshiper. I'm involved in witchcraft. He's got his peace symbols all over the back of his car, his devil's foot, his crow's foot. And he's going through all of these things. And finally, he starts telling you, I can tell you about your past. He starts telling me, you used to be this, and you used to be this, and you used to be, and I'm circling the car, keeping distance between me and him. He begins growling at me like a dog. Don't tell me that stuff's not real.
That's right.
I finally said, why don't you tell me about my future? He begins screaming at me. I'm in an unearthly, like, garbled scream, like a barking dog. You know why? Because people are still involved. They dabble in it, they play in it, seances. Palm reading, astrology. It almost seems so far-fetched today, but you go to the grocery store, they still sell the horoscopes.
Oh, yeah.
These people still read their horoscope every day. The palm reader in Chambersburg has been there for 35 years. She can do it by memory. She'll read tea leaves. I thought that was a thing of the past. She has a sign out that says tea leaves red. You want to think about something bizarre, you're going to cast your fortunes and your life on tea leaves? People believe it! They're not God's people.
That's right.
Just compare your lucky rabbit's foot. They do it. I've seen them rubbing it. It's like, they rub the rosary. Same thing.
Yeah.
The lucky rosary. So God said, I'm the Lord. You're not going to do it. You're not going to touch it. You're not going to get near it. You're going to stay as far away as you can. You say, why are you talking about that? Because God did. You're not going to get with those that have familiar spirits. You're not going to come into the contact with wizards and witches. And those, hey, listen. Read about the Witch of Endor if you don't believe it.
Yeah.
You think she didn't have power?
Well, she did too, right?
She had power.
Yeah.
She was cursed. She was cursed. I worked with a lady who used to read palms. She'd look at your palm. It's amazing how, you know, you have like, you're young, you got 3 or 4 lines in your palm. Now you're 50, you got 6,000. My grandma's 100. Her whole body's a line. Okay? And this lady's going to read her palm, you know. She's 100 years old. I see death in your future, you know. My grandma's 100. I see death in her future, too. I see death in my future. People buy it, hook, line, and sinker, not lost.
That's right.
I don't know too many people got saved out, but I've heard a few testimonies over the years from people that played around with it, dabbled with it. It was very real to them.
Yep.
Not God's people. I'm close, I'm finishing, I'm trying to hurry. I really am. See, verse 30, we did that, 31, 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, fear thy God. I want you young people to listen to me, you better honor these elders. You honor them. There's more to that, but I'm just going to leave it there. I am the Lord. If a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, I don't care if he's an Arab or a Mexican, you should not vex him. Which people, they wish they were dead. What a vile society. What a vile, wicked society. I hear preachers preach about it. Muslims. All these Mexicans coming in. I told a lady the other day, young lady waited on us. We went to a new restaurant. Hey, it's worth coming to visit McVeigh's just for that for the day. Just let you know. Went to the little Mexican restaurant. And I mean, she fed us a phenomenal meal. Just a little hole in the wall, a little dive. And we were talking to the waitress, teenage girl. And she said, yeah, my mom and dad, my mom had brought the recipes from Mexico. And I thought, at the end of the meal, I said, lady, I want you to go thank your mom that she started a restaurant in Chambersburg. She could have started anywhere in this country. But I'm thankful that she started this restaurant in Chambersburg. And they kind of laughed. I mean, they took it as a compliment. The little girls loved it. They ran back in the kitchen and told their mom. You know, how serious that could be. People have oppressed strangers in the land. But you know what the Lord told the children of Israel? You were strangers in the land of Egypt.
Come on.
Can I just apply that to the church real quick? We were all strangers in the land of Egypt one day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't oppress the stranger. We embrace the stranger. Mm-hmm. We love the stranger. The stranger you are, the more we love. And by the way, I remember some of you, and you came in here as strangers.
That's right. Yeah.
And there's not one of you. You might lie. There's not one of you to raise your hand and say, I don't think Tim McVeigh loved me. And I know there's not the one person not going to go, I don't think Mr. Van loved me. I don't think both John Asquith loved me. I don't think they really care. You're not going to raise your hand and lie on me and say, I don't think Tim McVeigh. You were strangers in the land. And we took you in.
Absolutely.
We invited you to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I once was a stranger in Egypt. And I came to the house of God on a Sunday morning. You know what they did? There was a few. They opened their arms and welcomed me as a stranger, a foreigner, an alien, an outcast. And they welcomed me. So what ought we do to others? Now, in the literal, in this land, we ought to just embrace strangers. The Indian at the hotel, the Mexican run the restaurant, the Arab at the 7-Eleven, the Irishman at the pub. You don't have to go in the pub, just wait out. You say, you're being condescending. Well, every Irishman I know owns a pub. I worked in the military with an Irishman, Bob McGonagall. And old Bob would pass out in the dorm and fall down and lay on the floor. About 7 o'clock in the morning, you hear him stumbling around. So they're like, Bob, you got to go to work. And kick him around and send him off to the office up there. And one day he got in a fight in the club. It was because a man said, oh, you drunken Irishman. And he took offense to that, and so he fist-fought the guy because he was drunk. And that was Bob. Amen. Just the life is hard for people. Life's so hard for people. Ought not we show them kindness and love? Ought not the children of Israel? Listen, it wasn't just Rahab. It wasn't just Ruth. There's other stories. Ornan the Jebusite. When he saw David coming, what did he do? He bowed to the king and said, whatever you need, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you need, king. He saw the angel of the Lord with that outstretched sword. He saw the fire of God fall. God was good to that stranger. God was good to that alien. God was good to that foreigner in the land of Egypt. God was so good to him. God's been good to us.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
While God is perfect, converting the soul, he said, thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I don't know if I want to admit this or not. I'm about 1/8 Irish, about 1/8 Swiss, and about 3/4 German. My grandpa, that passed away a couple years ago, still said, ja, 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 ja. Second generation American, fought the Germans in World War II, hated the Krauts. That was his heritage, that was his people. And when we grew up in a Midwestern families, my grandmother was born, one grandma was born in Minnesota, my grandpa was born in Minnesota. My other grandmother was born in Junction City, Colorado. My grandfather was born in Kansas. My mom was born in Washington. My dad was born in Colorado. My family's from all over the place. I've traveled all over the world. And God's blessed me to do that. I've met people from races and cultures and places. And God's just allowed me to experience and meet people and know people. And can I say, without fail, the best people I've ever met in all my life, continually, whether it's in the Philippines, Cambodia, Honduras, Mexico, Canada, South Dakota, Washington State, Maine, Florida, Pennsylvania, Western New York. The best people in all the world are God's people.
Mm. Amen.
Going to buy them off. I met some of the greatest people I've ever met in my life in the house of God. Okay. When they buy them off. They sit there with regrets. And by the way, if you're not sitting there with regrets, I've probably not been effective preaching. This stirs in me. Brings back remembrance. The vileness that was in Tim McVeigh. The wickedness that was in Tim McVeigh. But 25 years ago, an April evening on Sunday night, April 20th, 1997, I was gloriously saved. I was lawless, I was wicked, I was an abuser of people, hateful, despised God, hated the law of God, hated preaching, hated the word of God. The whole time I told you, oh, I love it, oh, I love the God, I love the Lord, I love the Bible, oh, I love the word. Hated the word of God, hated what it did to me. And when God saved me, what he did, he gave me peace in the regrets. He gave me comfort in the regrets. Things I could never change. Your pastor and I were talking in October. There's people I've so hurt that I could never go back and make it right. It'd be so weird and so confusing to them. I could never make it right. But yet God is right in my ship. Mm-hmm. God is right in my soul. Mm-hmm. I've wounded people beyond the pale. And I don't mean physically, I just mean emotionally. I'm an acidic tongue. I could cut strangers down to size with my bitterness and my hatred. God saved me. God changed me. God gave me peace. God gave me joy. And all of a sudden, I began to strive lawfully. Began to walk with God. Began to realize all these violations of the law, the very thing that was destroying my soul. I was lawless. I was a rebel. I was against God. I was bitter and hateful. 25 years later, this law still affects me. 25 years later, this law still cuts me. Let me summarize in our text. In verse 35, you should do to one righteousness in judgment, in meter, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, and just ephah, and just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. You see, I possibly couldn't do all those things. Jesus Christ did. And in Christ, I can. Christ, you can. There's things you can never make right with people. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing you can't make right with God. Mm-hmm. It's a day of change. Now I'm going to say something I don't always say here or other places. I'm going to say it without hesitation, without fear. John and I talked about it's coming up this winter. I said, maybe into February, something like that. I called the other day and I said, brother, the only time we can come is next week. He said, well, come on, we'll figure it out. When I called him, the Lord had laid this series of passages on my heart. All day today, it's been heavy upon me. And tonight when I prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't know who will be there. I don't know who will be offended. I don't know who will be hurt. Dear God, if you'll send somebody this passage, God will preach me. And I believe it helps me.
Yes, sir.
He's the Lord. He changes not. Now, maybe we will, maybe we won't. That I am, so you wouldn't blame. I ran through it 100 miles an hour. I referenced over 105 verses in one message. Preach the I am Messianic Psalms. You can't preach the I am with Messianic Psalms without seeing the I am of the law. If you see the I am of the law, you'll have no trouble seeing the I am of Psalms. But you got to see the I am of the law. I am the Lord. Change life. Lord, who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your Bible study. I want to thank you for the word of truth. Thank you for the liberty you've had. Thank you for the kindness you've shown us tonight to assemble in this place, this Bible study for those that have driven or some great distance to be here. I pray, Lord God, that you'd be satisfied with us, satisfied with what we've taken from this. Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be satisfied with this preaching of the law of God that you've never changed on. You've never wavered. You've never walked. You are the great I am. I pray you'd help us with understanding. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our minds to understand. Even as Job said, these are things too wonderful for me, things I understood not. And Lord, this is far too wonderful for me. Lord God, as I sit and look at this, and I look at my own life, and I see the folly, I see the wickedness, I see the failure of my life. That law is perfect, converting the soul. The law of God is holy. The law of God is just. The law is righteous. And Lord God, as that law was revealed in me, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And Lord God, I want to thank you that I am revealed the law to me, and that he revealed himself to me through the law. By his grace, I am what I am, but by the grace of God. We bless your name. We ask you, beseech you for traveling mercies for each one that goes home tonight. Lord, I pray you free those in bondage to sin. Lord God, I pray you work a miracle in lives. Lord, I don't hesitate to know you sent us here for a purpose, and that purpose is purpose in Jesus Christ. Have your will in your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.